As you probably know, Pope Benedict went to Naples on Sunday 21st of October, where after presiding over an open-air mass in the grand Piazza del Plebiscito there, he went uphill to the Capo di Monte Diocesan Seminary, with its stunning view over the Bay of Naples and a snow-capped Vesuvius for the occasion, to meet with many among the over 300 participants currently taking part in an interfaith peace meeting sponsored by the Catholic lay movement of Sant'Egidio. And ever since then, these same participants have got down to business, discussing practical problems facing religious leaders, who, as my colleague Philippa Hitchin tells me, search to seek peaceful coexistence between peoples.
On Monday, in a series of roundtable debates, not just here in Naples, but also in many of the surrounding towns, they spoke on a wide variety of themes, ranging from the role of religions in the Middle East, the role of scriptures in the monotheistic faiths, the future of religion in Europe, faith and reason, faith and science, or women working against violence. Among the Vatican officials taking part in these discussions was the head of the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue, French Cardinal Jean-Louis Torrent, who was chairing a panel on the role of religions together in dialogue. He talked about the Catholic Church's understanding of this interfaith adventure. It's much more than just a conversation, he said. It's also more than just negotiations to achieve some goal or other. It's really more of a pilgrimage, a lengthy process of getting to know and understand each other's point of view. Dialogue of this kind, he said, does bring with it risks and challenges, as we have to ask deep questions about how we live our own faith, as well as how the other person lives his or hers. Paradoxically, though, he said, we are condemned to dialogue because it's the only alternative to confrontation and conflict. So the meeting here in Naples is essential in its work of developing this dialogue for peace. Attending the forum here are several of the Muslim scholars who recently wrote a letter to the Pope and other Christian leaders calling for closer cooperation. So I asked Cardinal Torrent what kind of response the Church would like to make.
Very recently, 138 Muslim scholars wrote a letter, a common word, calling for closer cooperation. What kind of response can we expect to that letter?
Well, I cannot tell you exactly what kind of response will be given, but because we are actually studying how to answer, and during this meeting in Naples, I've been in contact with other religious leaders to hear their opinion. But what is sure that there will be a response, because this message contains very important elements. For example, one of the elements which is very important is that when the document speaks about Jesus, is presented with quotation from the Gospel, from the New Testament, and this is very new, not from the Quran, but from our New Testament. So it's a kind of manifestation of respect towards the Christians. And there is also the awareness of the potential of peace, which is contained in religions, when they say that Muslims and Christians represent 50% of the world population. So it means that 50% of the world population is capable to contribute to the promotion of peace. So I think this is very important elements that we have to be answer to.
The letter was written, of course, by the more moderate elements within the Muslim world. How, in your view, can this message of peace and cooperation be extended to those with more extremist views within the different faiths?
Well, you know, when you are dialoguing with Muslims, the problem is exactly to see who is in front of you and what is the background. So I am not in a position to answer very precisely to your question. What perhaps will help that they will realize that we're not conquerors but partners. And so I hope that a meeting like the one we have in Naples can help to understand that we cannot be happy the one without the others, and certainly not the one against the other.
The discussions among these religious leaders continue on Tuesday morning. Then in the afternoon, the members of the various churches and communities gather in different places for a moment of prayer before coming together for a procession and the signing of a final appeal for peace. In Naples at the St. Egidio Interfaith Forum, I'm Philippa Hitchin.
Many thanks there to my colleague Philippa Hitchin and to her guest, the head of the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue, Cardinal Jean-Louis Toron. Another of the participants at this interfaith meeting Philippa spoke to was the Secretary General of the World Council of Churches, Reverend Dr. Samuel Kabir. Let's listen.
The mission of your organisation, of the WCC, is to promote unity amongst Christians. And yet many people here are talking about a cooling off of the ecumenical movement. Do you agree with that assessment, first of all?
No, I don't agree with that assessment. I know that there are those who would have wanted to see a highly visible way of talking about the achievements that the ecumenical movement is making towards the search for visible unity. But the fact that there isn't such a high-profiled program doesn't mean that really the ecumenical movement is cooling off. There are two examples that I can give to show that the ecumenical movement is in fact very much alive and even gathering momentum. One of the challenges that we have faced in the ecumenical movement is that of bringing on board more Christians who are convinced about the need for visible unity of Christians. It has taken very many years, but I would say that today, with the Global Christian Forum, which is a forum, yes, indeed, it's quite a loose forum. It's not a forum where we call each other to account for the visible that we seek. But nevertheless, for the first time in all these years, we have a good number of evangelicals belonging to the International Alliance of Evangelicals, and also some Pentecostals who themselves say 30 years ago would never have stepped anywhere near the work of the ecumenical movement. Today they have agreed to participate in the Global Christian Forum. And I think it's a good sign. It will take a while, of course, before they could sign up to the work, for example, of the joint working group between the WCC and the Vatican, because yes, they are not prepared to go that far, like we have done between the membership of WCC and the Vatican, but the fact that they have themselves now decided to join the forum that discusses about the challenges of Christians in the 21st century when it comes to responding to the Jesus prayer where our Lord calls for all to be one so that the world may believe. So that in itself to me is an encouragement. Secondly, I have just mentioned the Joint Christian Forum. Last year, we celebrated the 40 years since the formation of the Joint Working Group between the WCC and the Catholic Church. And I would say that yes, we still have a long way to go, but the evaluation that we have done shows that there are many ways in which we can say we are clearly moving towards the goal of visible unity, because we have agreed on the many issues that need to be addressed in order to overcome the divisions that the churches have experienced over the years. So I think one could say that the ecumenical movement has made a lot of progress. Let me add a final word here, and this has to do with the enthusiasm that I have seen among the young people for ecumenism. 10, 15 years ago, we were very worried that the younger generation is not as committed to the search for unity, like the generation that clearly spearheaded the modern ecumenical movement. But I have talked with many young people here in Europe, in Asia, in Africa, and I am encouraged because many of them, in fact, seem to be even more ready to cooperate together, because they are not as taken to narrow interests of the confessional bodies to which they belong. I think many of them, and thanks again to the ecumenical movement, have been able to interact with each other so well, and I think they are prepared to work together. So that shows that while the challenges still remain, I think the ecumenical movement is quite alive.
You were talking about the dialogue between the World Council of Churches and the Catholic Church in particular. Many of your members criticised the recent motu proprio from the Vatican on the self-understanding of the Catholic Church. It doesn't substantially change the position or the view of the Catholic Church since the Second Vatican Council, and yet it's being seen as quite an obstacle. Do you agree with that or not?
I think the immediate reaction to the document suggests that many people did not quite understand neither the objective nor the full content of the document. Because a closer look at the document shows that there hasn't been any substantial diversion from the position taken by the Second Vatican Council. I think what it tries to do is to clarify for the Catholic members on the whole question of the self-understanding of the Church and the self-understanding of the Catholic Church, and therefore I could say yes, there isn't much change in terms of position. What I think happened, which perhaps could have been avoided, is to issue such a statement as a new statement. Because that's how many people took it to be. And therefore, they started asking, well, we have, for example, I mentioned the joint working group again. We have been working together for 40 years. And we thought that we had reached a joint understanding of the Church. So what is this all about? I think while I'm not calling for the Catholic Church to prepare the other churches for any encyclical or a statement from the Vatican. Nevertheless, I think if there is a kind of forewarning that this is coming and this is what it means, then it is possible to avoid the misunderstanding that has clearly been there on the part of many who read this news as they saw it as news. What I think we need to do is for us in the World Council, being the second party to the joint working group, to really talk with the Catholic leadership and agree on how we should interpret this to especially our constituency who might have been confused by what happened. But I think once they understand, it will be clear that the position has not changed.
Our thanks there to the Secretary General of the World Council of Churches, Reverend Dr. Samuel Kabir, who was speaking there to Philippa Hitchin. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.